Okay, you guys, let's do this. It's gonna be so professional. Like, so professional. Here we go. Welcome to the Lab Support Podcast with your hosts, Michelle Van Dusen and June Colson, a couple of clean comedians who support each other and others through comedy's wacky and winding roads. I hope you're ready. Get set. Let's go! Since podcasts have a catchy tune, we wrote this song for Michelle and June. Clean comedians are best friends too. Oh, so good. And you never know what they'll say or do. Here we go, sing with me on Lab Support, with Michelle, who's really short. We'll have a ball, with June, who's really tall. They have fun, interviewing comedians on Lab Support, with Michelle, who's really short. Now it's time to start Lab Support.
The Lab Support Podcast is brought to you by the Hot Breath Comedy Network.
Welcome to the award-winning Laugh Support Podcast. I'm your host, Junebug Colson, here with Michelle, with one L, Trisha's sister, Rhonda Colson, Corey's friend. Don't call me Shelly.
Come on.
Michelle Van Dusen.
Good morning. What? How are you? Or good afternoon or good evening. Depends on when you're listening.
That's so, right. Hello. Good day, I say. Good day, sir. Good day.
Goodbye. That's a goodbye one.
It can be both.
Is it?
They can be, I don't know, I'm just making things up. It can because I said so, Michelle. Hey, happy day before Good Friday.
Ooh.
Day, is that a day? What would you call that? Pre-Friday? Pre-Good Friday?
Well, I do know some parts of the world celebrate on Thursday when our podcast drops.
Ooh,
okay. Yeah. So, you know, like they start their whole Easter weekend kind of a thing. So, yeah, it is the eve of.
It is the eve of Good Friday. Yes, when this podcast drops. So we are so excited to be with you guys as we head in to Easter weekend. So how you doing, Michelle with 1L? How's it going?
I'm good. So I just want to start off right at the top. What do you call a bunny with lice?
I honestly don't think Jesus likes
Bugs Bunny.
Y'all, listen, seriously, I'm going to need some listeners to send emails and let Michelle know she needs to stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it. Okay, actually, I kind of liked Bugs Bunny. That's funny. Because, like, my nieces are going to be coming in this weekend. And, you know, you got to have some goofy kid jokes for them. So, I mean, we don't have goofy children listening to our podcast. So this has no real value to our listeners, except for the ones who really enjoy that you bug the fire out of me, pun intended. You bug me with your Bugs Bunny jokes. That's actually pretty good. I like it. I gotta be nice. It's Easter weekend. It's all about forgiveness. And I forgive you for that joke at the top of the show.
You know what? This reminds me of the kind of story that Easter bunnies love. The ones that always have happy endings. Forgiveness. Thank you.
I think we almost need to hoppy in this podcast if you don't stop it. Listen, we're out of control already today, my friends. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so we are, as this airs, it's the day before Good Friday. And we're just gonna hang out today, talk a little bit about Easter. We're gonna talk about comedy. And we are gonna talk about whether we should just give up.
No, we can't give up. This is a great episode so far.
So far, the best one we've ever done. Okay. All right, y'all. So I wanted to, Michelle, we were talking this morning, we're like, what are we going to talk about the day before Good Friday and as we go into Easter weekend? And so family, man, let's talk a little bit about family. Let's talk a little bit about comedy. A lot of comedians do material about their family. Most people who have listened to me or listened to our podcast or seen me on stage know that my family is a huge part of my comedy. A huge centerpiece of my comedy is my dad, Hot Dog. And, you know, over the Easter holidays, we're going to spend a lot of time with our family. So I want to talk about etiquette in writing comedy with you, with your family or about your family.
Okay.
You do comedy about your family as well. You do bits about your kids. You do some things about your husband. I want to ask you some questions about that because I know recently your kids got to see a clip of you, and did they or did they not know all the details behind the joke that you told? I love this.
Okay, which clip? And no, they didn't know all the details. But which clip are we talking about?
I think the in the church, in the Catholic Church.
Oh,
Yes, your son
okay.
didn't know the background story. Is that right? Tell me about that.
Okay, so the kids knew the information behind it because they were there. That was them sitting there. These are words that they spoke. They just forgot because they were little, you know. And so they enjoyed the story again, you know, hearing it from my perspective of what happened. Now, I only do jokes of my family now that my children are older.
Yes.
You know, like I didn't touch them when they were little at all. You know, like I left them out of any of my stuff except I had the perspective of when I homeschooled, but I never called them out in any joke of any kind. But this one, so the principal of the school, when we sent them to public school, the principal of the school ended up dying. And so we took them to her service, and it was a traditional church. So it wasn't a Catholic church. It
Okay.
was just a traditional church. And sitting there, I realized we have never taken our kids to a traditional church ever. So they don't know the volume of their voices. They don't know like anything, how to behave in one. They knew, you know, sit and, you know, try to whisper. But you know, they're kids, and we're sitting in the back, and right away the littlest is like, I can't see, which is always a problem when you sit in the back of something, you know, and we're like, shh, things are fine, you know, it's okay. 'Cause we would put them up on our lap, you know, to see better. And when it started and the priest started walking down the aisle and they were swinging the incense, my kids have never seen incense burn. I've
Yeah.
never seen that ever in a service before. I mean, they've had fog machines, you know, from the children's church that they've gone to.
That's so crazy to me because I've always gone to a small church and the fact that there's fog machines, right? Like
Know, like
the
summer
church
camp.
has incense and the big church has fog machines and laser lights and parachutes dropping in the ceiling and like they're like,
Well,
what is
it's not like that,
no,
but you know,
it's
like
not.
at summer camp and stuff, you know, when they have fog machines
Yes,
and stuff. So
yes.
they knew, but this was different because now here's a priest, so he's dressed in a robe, so that was different for them. And so the incense burner, you know, the priest swings it, and so you see the incense, you know, billowing out. Well, because she was cremated and we explained to the kids what that meant, you
Yes.
know, that she was burned and, you know, her body was burned, you know, and her body's here on earth, but her spirit's in heaven. You know, we tried to, you know, we thought they understood.
Yes.
So here, you know, priest, so right away one of them was like, oh, well, I see her. There she is. And then because the oldest is like, oh my gosh, it's, you know, they're
Smoke.
burning. The smoke, they're burning her right now. Like, you guys hold your breath. You don't want to breathe her in. And
Yes.
then the other one is, you know, like they just started saying all these crazy things
Yes.
and loud enough for everyone in front of us to hear. And we're trying to keep them quiet. And so you just see shoulders just going up and down because everybody's trying to not laugh
Yes.
at the comments.
Which is a chain reaction.
Oh my
When you
gosh.
feel the person beside you start to shake, like, and you know it's funny too, it can be a chain reaction, which is why I think it's important in a like comedy club for people to be tight to one another. Like when you, because it's not just a audio, you know, audible chain reaction of hearing other people laughing, but when someone beside you is so shook by something so funny that they're like trying to hold it in, it makes it even funnier. But
It does.
so they knew about the bit, but when they saw it, I remember you saying, like, one of them was like, wait a minute, like, I don't remember that, like, because they were little.
Yeah. And so then, of course, then I embellished it on stage. So then I'm like, well, you know, one of them yells out like Captain Ahab, there she is, you know, like, and so then you just, you throw on your emphasis on it and you expound it more. But these were things that the kids said, you know, was she alive or dead when they burned her to death? Can I get
so harsh?
I know. Can I get extra credit if I bring her ashes to school? No. Okay. What if I just bring her brochure?
The brochure, like you're like, yeah, like it's a vacation trip. You've got the brochure of the woman, and like, what is there a coupon on there?
Will she be there on Monday? Like, it was all these little questions that kids have, you know, about life and death, and you know, really, where is she? And then we finally were able to tell them, like, okay, see that box way up over there? That's where she's at. And they're like, well, how'd she fit in there? You know, then it was a whole nother thing. Anyway, but I've never added that other section to the routine because it didn't, you know, it's good where it's at. Anyway, yeah, so that was the last time we ever took our kids to a traditional church.
Right.
So.
But were your boys? So they were surprised by the story. They were surprised by themselves in the story. And were they okay with you writing about them?
Yes. I got permission from all of them to find out if it was okay, you know, if I talk about them on stage. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that a few years ago because I was in my son's school, middle school, and I was working with the theater teacher because they were doing comedy. They were doing a whole section on comedy and stuff. And so I came in to listen to what the students have come up with. And I was just going to kind of help them, you know, give them some pointers and tips. And then they asked if I would do some. So I did a bit about how my youngest, but I never said youngest in the bit. I just said how my son potty trained himself. You know, he would take his diaper off and he'd pitch it over the fence to our neighbor's yard, who happened to be city councilors. So, you know, real great. And then their dog would chew it up and then they would just pitch it back. Right. So it was just like this whole, you know, great neighborhood relations kind of a thing.
Yes. Yeah, anyway, sounds wonderful and disgusting, Michelle. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Yeah. It was all of it. Right. And so, in school that day, you know, plus I, you know, there was other things I did besides that one bit, other things. But that day in school, people were like, dude, your mom is so funny. Oh my gosh, you're hilarious. Like they just started commenting it to him and he's like, wait, my mom's here? What are you talking about? Like he had no idea that I was in the building and that I was working with the kids until he saw me later. He's like, Mom, I met more people today than I've ever met before. They all know my name. And I'm like, well, I never said the name, but I was introduced as Anthony's mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, I just shared which kid that was. Whoops. oh, well.
Well, so I want to talk about that because we're about to be with family this weekend. And a lot of comedians do comedy about their family. And especially newer comedians, I think starting out, might make the mistake of doing a bit about someone, and because you think it's funny and it feels very innocent, you can take it on stage, do this thing, and then suddenly you've hurt somebody in your family because they're not comfortable with that story, or they didn't realize they were being talked about, or they may be more introverted than you really knew. You know, I do a lot of bits about my family. One of the bits that I do is a bit called 23andMe. And it's about DNA testing and about me discovering that I have a baby sister in Indiana. I just did that bit on Dry Bar. You know, it's one thing if I was doing it at like local clubs or, you know, it's not recorded or it's not something that's going to be fully public consumed, those type of things.
Yeah.
But before I even took that bit to stage the first time, I reached out to my new baby sister and I explained to her the bit that I was doing. And the first time I really did it on a big stage, she was actually there with her family on the front row.
Okay. So to clarify, your baby sister is not 10. She's older.
She's
right?
She's 11. No, yes, she's. Don't ask me how old she is. I don't even know how old my brother or my sister are. That's been in my life my whole life.
She's old enough. She's.
I was gonna have a 40th birthday party for her last year, and she had been 40 for a while. So we'll just say I'm not good with birthdays. But no, so we discussed. I think when we met Leslie, she was like 38. She knew I was doing comedy at that time. She knew what I did. I would never have brought her up or added her to my bits if it wasn't a harmonious relationship. I mean, it's a great situation where she'll be here on Friday and having dinner and staying in Kentucky with our family. And so that's super exciting. But I think as newer comedians, even if you think it's okay, even if it's the funniest bit and you think it's hilarious, I think even more importantly is how we treat people when we're given this platform, when we're allowed to be speaking and our goal, right, is to give people an opportunity to laugh. And I think that you're working against that goal when you're giving other people an opportunity to laugh at the expense of someone else, not with the permission of someone else, but the expense of someone else.
Yeah.
Because if someone feels that it's not, they're laughing with us, but they're laughing at us, that's a whole different type of laughter. And so I think it's, you know, you got to be careful to not subject people in your family to that. Fortunately, I do bits about my kids. You know, they know that I talk about them on stage. They're not super into comedy, or at least not mine. And so they don't really care. Like every once in a while, someone will say something to them. It was a big old dirt bike just went flying down the street in my subdivision, because that's a place for a dirt bike. Welcome to Kentucky, y'all. we may be here. We'll probably be doing wheelies in my backyard in a minute. Sorry, wheelies. I don't know what you call them. Wheelies. What do you say, Michelle? Wheelie or a wheelie?
The second one.
Wheelie. He's doing a wheelie in my backyard. But yeah, my kids, they don't pay any attention to me. Every once in a while, somebody will like make a comment about a bit that I do, and they're like, whatever. But this weekend, we're going to be with family.
Yeah, which is nice.
Which is really nice. But also as comedians, it's an opportunity for observation and to pay attention to, like, what does my family, you know, once you start writing, you're doing comedy, everything around you becomes potential material. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to let you think as I talk about this, like if your family, then you have to be Easter. If you have like a weird tradition, a holiday tradition, whether it's Easter, Christmas, St. Patrick's Day, whatever, you know, my family has weird traditions, but it's a good time. If you do material about your family, I think it's a good time as comedic writers to be paying attention to what happens in my family, because suddenly you'll start to realize, oh, we are weird. We do some weird stuff. Or I wonder if everybody does that. And you can write about that, but at the same time, cautiously making sure that there's no one in your family, A, that is going to be offended by it, or B, that's going to mess up your bit, Bobby Joe, my sister. One time I did a bit about her, and you elaborate, right? Like comedy in my family is truth tellers. Mm-hmm. My youngest son, Trey, he'll be like, that's not how it went, you know? And I'm like, so we're not letting the truth mess up a good story. Like comedy, we're allowed to play and make it more of it. But somebody said, that's so funny, because Bobby's the smart one in the story. And someone says to her, oh my gosh, it's so funny that you did that. And she says to the audience member, I don't think I ever did that. And I'm like, shut up. Shut your mouth. You got to let them know they got to be in on the fun. And like, don't mess up the illusion of, like, I do a bit about Jason killing a deer. And it has 10 point buck. It's a 12 point buck. It's been an 11 point buck. You know, like, I'm pretty sure it was a 10 point buck that he killed. But it just depends. Sometimes I say a different number. And but if someone came up to him and were like, wow, you actually shot, you know, it's based on a true story, mm-hmm. but it's an elaboration of that story. And he can mess up that illusion or that fun that the audience just had with that. And like he learned early on just to nod and go, yeah, you know, just to, and move on. Like you don't have to go too deep into it. All right. So family traditions. Do you have any weird holiday family traditions?
I guess it's that we just don't do anything. So like
that's a pretty good tradition. A lot of people love to take those traditions on in their home.
You know, so like for Thanksgiving, you know, typically people have, you know, huge turkeys and this, that, and that. When Ross and I first got married, we didn't have a kitchen. So we had a hot plate. And so for Thanksgiving, I would make ravioli because you could boil it and sauce it all in the same
pan. I love
pan.
It.
Yeah. So we would have that for a while. And then our Christmas tree for the longest time till we moved, because I actually don't know where the plant went. It was just a tabletop plant.
Yes.
And it was like a little fern or something. And he put so many Christmas lights on it. The little branches were just like, whoop, you know, just drooped over. But it just it kept it warm for the winter. So that was good.
You had a Charlie Brown tree.
Yeah, but it was greener than a Charlie Brown tree. So yeah. Yeah.
For a while.
And now I don't know where it's at. So yeah, like when growing up, every year, you know, we would have all the cousins over. I'm Italian. I know I don't look like it, but I'm Italian and Irish. And so
the Irish shows. The Irish definitely shows.
Yes, it does. But for Christmas, I don't remember any. I mean, besides my grandma and my grandpa, I don't really remember any of my dad's side of the family coming over. It was mostly my mom's side. So it was, you know, all the Marcos, the Leonardos, the Mallows, you know, like the Macchis. It was like all the Italian side. And there would be all the food that you could possibly have. And there was always, always grab bag gifts and things like that. And craziness ensued all the time on Christmas. And we had to do, you know, we had to do the caroling. We had to do all those things. And then for Easter, because I was raised Catholic. So for Easter, we would definitely go to service, to church service. And then we would have an Easter egg hunt. And you always had to be in a dress all the time.
Yeah.
No matter what. And we would always do brunch. Like that was a big thing. Like we would go out for Easter brunch. And so my grandma and grandpa would be there. My mom's parents.
So you went somewhere, like someone didn't cook and you went to someone's house. You guys actually went as a family somewhere to a restaurant for brunch.
Yes. Yeah. So my mom's, so my grandparents on my mom's side, they were already dead. And so I've never met them. And so for like Thanksgiving, we would go to my grandmother's house. She would make, and she'd bake and cook. And oh my gosh, it was the best meals ever. You can't ever replace that. So why do I even try? Right. That's why I'm doing ravioli. But Easter brunch, everybody, you know, my grandma and grandpa would be there. And then just us and I have three siblings. So it was the four of us plus, you know, my parents and then my grandparents. And it was all, and then of course, occasionally when my older siblings started dating, you'd find there would be some dates that would show up, you know?
Yes.
Just, but being in the dress every single time. And then those cute little tappy shoes, you know, it would be like those
black patent leather tapped looking shoes.
Yes. Yeah. And they'd always hate
those black shoes. all my life, I've needed things to match. And it would always be like some hand-me-down Goodwill dress that was like floral or soft blue or a little white dress and then black shoes with big old knee socks. And I hated the shoes. I was so humiliated by my little black dress shoes. And no one cared about my shoes. I hated them. Did y'all do, okay, did you do porch pictures where everybody in the family had to line up on the porch and you took a picture of each family had to stand outside in their little dresses because everybody was so cute and take the pictures?
You know what? I don't think it was ever like a porch picture, but a patio picture. So yeah, or it'd be in front of the church, or like I remember there's certain pictures that we have. It was either in front of the White House. Our house was white.
I was like, "What? You live in D.C.? You guys are so fat." I mean, apparently, you still had connections later on when your kid was potty training, and you lived next door to a councilman with the diaper throwing, and the you've just always been a very politically minded human being, I suppose.
Very much so. Very much so.
Connected. So the connections.
Again, I'm Italian. No, so you said connected. Yes. No, but like, so the little shoes that I had, that the socks were always those little funky ones that felt weird with the little frills on them.
Oh, yeah.
Like
little girl socks with the lace,
Yeah. I was a tomboy, you know,
The guy wearing those at the Super Bowl and the halftime. Oh, I don't know if you saw that, but there was a singer. It was a dude, and he had those socks on with the black shoes. It was too much for me. I can't deal with that period. Like, if I had a daughter, I would never put those lacy socks on her, and she would never have to wear black shoes with any kind of. But I don't have a daughter. I have boys. Okay, so when you're with your family, because I'm asking about traditions, I think. Some of the toughest things is political conversations, talking about politics, political and religion, and there's always hot button topics. Mm-hmm. And I'm just suggesting this year as comedians, when you're with their family, to start picking the brains of your family members that are older than you. Like my, you're the baby, aren't you, Michelle?
I am.
It's not baby. Hard. I'm just saying. You're a baby. No, that's why you and my sister Leslie get along so well. But your sister, she's older than you. They have different memories and different recollections of funny things that you may have said or you may have done that might spark a memory. I love when my brother and my sister start talking about something that happened, and then it'll remind me, like the porch pictures. You know, we always had to line up and everybody had to smile for the picture. One Easter, my mom blow dried my hair for so long that I got so hot that I passed out on the floor. It was the only time that she ever did my hair. I always had this crazy wire hair. And here's just a tip for, you know, moms of daughters. If you're blow drying your daughter's head and she says to you, "I feel like I'm going to pass out," trust her. Because here's the craziest thing. I passed out. This was like the weirdest how I connected this in my head. Our dog disappeared in the wintertime. His name is Spike. He was part bulldog and miniature poodle, the ugliest dog you'll ever see. He had like the bulldog mouth, and then he had curly, kinky hair like a poodle, and he was just pitiful looking. He disappeared in the wintertime, and I would pray at night, like, "God, please bring Spike back." Please, you know, had not forgotten the dog. Mom blow dries my hair. I pass out. When I wake up, Spike is in the living room, and I thought I was dead. I thought the dog had died. Now I've died. I look up and my dad is standing over me in his tidy whities, and I'm like, "This is not heaven." Like, he was still in bed, and mom was screaming, "Gosh, killed me." And my dog had showed up. My brother had just opened the door. He was screaming like, "Spike's home, Spike's home." It was the weirdest Easter ever. Like, I don't know what was more traumatizing, passing out, waking up thinking I was dead and there was my dog, or having to see my dad in his underwear standing over the top of me yelling at my mother. Like, yeah, that was Easter with hot dog and Mo.
The tiny way, this is not heaven.
This is definitely not. This is heaven. Someone has lied to me. Like, this is not real. But like, you forget about those stories. You forget about these funny stories. And then one holiday we were talking, and my sister was like, "Remember that year Spike came back?" And I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And it all floods back. So I think rather than fighting with your sister or your brother about their political beliefs or, you know, whatever, start talking about family stories, funny stories. Our families had weird traditions. Like, most people are watching It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas. My family every year watched Ernest Saves Christmas.
That's a great movie. I just watched it the other day. I'm sorry. I love the Ernest movies.
Yeah. Ernest goes to camp. Ernest goes to prison. Ernest saves Christmas. Yeah. Like every year we would watch that. And every year when my mom would try to take a picture of our family, my brother would moon the camera. That was our family traditions every single year. Every year.
My brother had a moon mural on his wall in his bedroom.
So he had a whole mural of buttocks.
No. The moon. Astronaut. Yeah. And so they would bring at the time the VCR type camera, the big camera that had
my Uncle Gary had one that had did they have to have the extension cord on it?
Yes.
Plugged into the wall, and he'd be walking around videotaping with an extension cord. He could only go as far as the cord would go.
Yeah. So the cord was wrapped all the way through the house, down the hall into, but they made movies, were moonwalking. Like they would do all this stuff, all the boys and all the cousins. I remember that. That was fun. It was my brother Morgan's room and then cousin Jimmy and all the other ones.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then when the guys got together, they were crazy. I'll just put it that way. And I remember one time, we had toys that now, we can't have these kind of toys. These toys are dangerous for people.
Yeah, because, we had things like yard darts that you could murder someone with. Yes.
Yeah. So this was a dart board and it was inside his room. He didn't have it hung up yet. And so he and his buddies are playing and so they're, playing darts. And so he goes like this, but you can't hit, and he's trying to like.
Okay, for our listeners, Michelle is taking her hand and just raising it up and down, up, down, up, down, like a target that's moving. And your brother was saying to who?
Well, he was, I think he wanted to try to catch one, because his buddy. He ended up catching it, but. his friend just got him. He like, bam, right in his finger. And he's like, ah. And then he's like, oh, quiet. We can't let my mom know. That was a big thing because, if there's any blood or, if she finds out that you got injured, well, then that game and that time frame is up.
Yeah.
And
it's all fun and games till you got a dart in your pinky. Like that's a.
Yes. So like the same brother. Growing up on the weekends, we would go to Indiana. And because my parents owned an island with an A-frame house out there, there's no electricity, so it was all gas, propane or whatever. And we're out there for the 4th of July, and which is really cool to watch fireworks, from your boats and things like that. But we weren't out on the water. This was just, we were on the front porch, and my brother takes his bow and arrow and he attaches a firework to the end. And so he's going to, he tells my older brother, okay, go ahead and light it. And he's going to shoot it up, so we can watch it go off over the lake kind of a thing. Right. Well, it's like, okay, go. And he wants to time it perfectly. And so he doesn't even get a chance to let go of the string yet because the string burned. The firework fell onto the porch. We all had a jump off. My mom's screaming. And the thing is just spinning and doing all these crazy things. So, it's all fun and games until you burn the house down. That's all.
Yeah. Okay, so this is kind of exactly what I'm talking about. Some of the most fun you can have getting together with your family is the reminiscing. So yes. I bring up this story, right? And now, when was the last time you thought about that? About the firework and trying to tie it to the bow and arrow? The whole visual that you just did, that needs to be a bit like what it's like raising boys. And then, I should have known I grew up with a brother. Right. And then you could do the visual of your hand going up and down and going, but you can't hit it, but you can't hit it. Hilarious. Everybody knows where it's going. So what that did was it sparked in my brain. We had in one of the house trailers, Dad got a dartboard and he hung it right outside the bathroom door.
Oh no.
Twice me and Dewey were playing darts and my dad came out of the bathroom, and when anything moved with my attention deficit, my eyes tracked and so did my body. Two times I threw a dart into my dad's bicep. twice he had to pull a dart out of his arm. Did he move the dartboard? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Was he more cautious from then on when he came out of the bathroom?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So anyway, I you know, we could go on with you forever about this stuff, but as far as comedians go, I say enjoy time with your family over the holidays.
Yes.
Good Friday is tomorrow. We want you to have a great time. If you're anxious about your politically charged family members or whatever, just encourage them to reminisce, tell the stories. Yeah. Who knows? It may be material. It could be a whole lot of fun. And we just hope that you guys have an excellent, excellent Easter weekend. Michelle and I, we talk about how we are Christians. Our podcast is, about comedy, but there's really, there's nothing that we do that we separate Christ from, because he lives in us and through us. And so just really quick, Michelle, I just want to make sure that our listeners know where our hope comes from and where our joy comes from. And so this weekend, Good Friday is all about Christ and mm-hmm. and him going to the cross for the forgiveness mm-hmm. of our sins. And, we tell a lot of funny stories about our family, but each and every one of us have all had traumas and tragedies and difficulties in our life, but we have joy and we have hope because of not only what happens on Friday, but because Sunday is coming. So if you don't mind, because you're much more eloquent, share really quick for our listeners who may not know, don't know the hope that's found in Jesus Christ and what this holiday is about.
Wow. You said really quick. That's, crazy on that part. And you said eloquent. No.
Well, you're way more than I am. For people who don't know, because the last thing listen to a 45-minute story about it, right?
Yeah, no,
Cliff Note TikTok age. Let them keep them from scrolling and tell them where our hope comes from.
Our hope comes from Jesus Christ, because originally, we were separated from God. He came, perfect man, and he took all of our sins. He died a horrible death. Crucifixion that no innocent man should have ever have died. And that was the thing. He was innocent, but he took our sins upon him, so we wouldn't have to pay that kind of a price for our problems. Right. And then he died, and then he came back on Sunday and he was resurrected. And people are like, well, what happened, during the time he was dying? He came up he showed up, for 40 days after, after his resurrection. He was around for 40 days talking to his disciples. So it wasn't just like, oh, hey, here I am, and then pop, gone. No, God raised him from the dead. So he died horribly, took our sins with him,
mm-hmm.
and then he was resurrected, and he is still alive today. The disciples got to watch him leave and go to heaven. They visually saw him ascend to heaven. So that's what's really cool. And Jesus said, I'll be back. Just, better than the Terminator. I'll be back. Yes. Yeah, I'll be back. And so that's why, we're looking to the heavens all the time as to when are you coming? It's going to take a while because, he's preparing a place. And there's a bunch of other things that go in the Bible that if you want to follow the story, you can. But here's why I know it's going to take him a minute to come back, because he's preparing for a wedding, right? Because it's, as Christians, we're the bride of Christ. And so, have you ever planned a wedding? You gotta get the seating chart. You gotta, get out the invitations, which Jesus did. God sent out the invitations. He's like, you're invited. Oh, well, when's the wedding? Soon. Okay. So he's going to return soon.
Yes. Which means we get prepared.
Yeah, we get prepared. You're like so eloquent, Michelle. No, I'm all over the place. I did learn this the other day, though. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's true, but donkeys, because Jesus rode a donkey into to get crucified. There's a cross on the back of a donkey. Have you seen that?
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, so last when he rode it, he rode on a donkey, and they have a cross. So, I mean, like Duns horses, which is a dun, they have a line down their back, the
Yes.
back half, but they don't have the one that goes over the shoulders. And a donkey has the line that goes both ways.
Match their fur.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
yes, I thought that was really cool. Anyway,
Well,
so.
here's what I know. I know that we live in a fallen world, right? We live in a fallen world that is filled with sin, and we chose as human beings to we chose sin. And God gave his people a lot of opportunities to, to do the right things, and we fell short, we fell short, we fell short, and he sent us a savior. I, you know, I started out as only human, but I love this. I heard someone say the other day, you can no longer say you're only human when you give your heart and your life to Christ, because now you have a living God living in you and through you, and you are not only human anymore. We
Yeah,
still make some
that's
human
good.
mistakes, but the beauty is that we are not condemned to hell. We have a savior who loved us enough. People will say, like, oh, that's so easy. That seems so easy, though. All you got to do is believe in Christ and and give your heart to him, and that's it. You get heaven. There's you can't work your way in, you can't buy your way in. It has already been bought, All you have to do, like you said, the invitations are out. You accept that invitation and you believe in Jesus Christ, you give your heart to him. I can tell you, I have done it life without God, and I have done it with him. And my circumstances didn't necessarily change, but my perspective did, and my ability to lay these burdens go to the cross and know that this is just temporary. We don't have to live in this forever, right? This is just temporary. And
My
our
wit
and as you said, he's gone to prepare a place, and there's a place for us. So I just want to say that we if you have questions, as choppy as we may be and sharing this, like I can tell you my story, and Michelle can tell you her story of how we came to believe and the difference it's made in our lives. So as much as you could email us and talk to us about comedy or have questions or things like that, we are always available to someone who is seeking and searching for the hope that we have in us, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I remember when I prayed with my mother, my grandmother, to receive Jesus into her life. Now, my grandmother was a very religious woman. Anytime the church doors were open, she was there, basically, right? But I prayed with her for her to receive Christ, to have that personal relationship versus just a religious relationship.
Yeah.
And so when she prayed what we would call the sinner's prayer, I said, "How do you feel, Grandma?" She's like, "I feel like a weight has been lifted off my heart." And that's the beauty about Christ. He said, "My peace I give to you."
Yeah.
And so how can you be hopeful in this world that everything is crazy and everything's changing and we got this virus and that and da, 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 all these things? How can you still, when you're going through those circumstances like you just mentioned, that your circumstance didn't change but your heart changed? And it's because peace just boom sits right inside you, and it somehow this is all going to work out somehow. And it just gives you that hope. So I love that. And yes, if you have questions or you just need someone to pray, you can email us thelaughsup@gmail.com. So we're always here, and we can even, we'll probably in the show notes, we'll have some scriptures, scripture references listed so you can read the story,
When I
yourself.
tell you, man, like if anybody has told you that the Bible is boring, they are a liar. They lie. It is not the story itself. Even if you don't believe, read the story, it'll blow your mind. There is action, there is adventure, there are so many things that unfold in the Bible. It's actually a very interesting book. So if anything, if you're curious about just a great story, read that one and see what happens. See what happens after you read it. And reach out to me if you have any questions. Okay, so tip of the day, we'll do that before we go. Speaking of the Bible, I'm going to give you a tip that is not biblical. And Michelle is going to give you the Bible verse that tells you not to do it. But this is in a different light. Okay. My tip of the day is eavesdrop. Eavesdrop.
Dun, dun, dun.
Be a nosy Nelly. Okay. I love words. So Michelle and I looked up like where eavesdrop comes from. The eave on a house. You know, where the water drops or drips, it kind of evolved from that, where someone is standing close enough to the eave of a house to listen in on what's going on. I have found comedy and things to write about just by listening to conversations that are going on around me. So not in a nosy Nelly way, but listening to people's conversations, pay attention to what people are talking about around you. And if you're hearing a common theme that a lot of people are talking about something, that might be worthy of a bit, that might be worthy of something to write about, because now you're finding this common thing that people tend to be talking about a lot. And if you're sharing that on stage, then you're likely going to connect with more people because you notice that's something a lot of people talk about. Not necessarily meaning I don't do a lot of in the news jokes or, you know, whatever it happens to be the thing right now that everybody's jumped on. I'm just talking about general in life. As people are talking and you hear common themes in people's conversation, it reminds you that there are certain things that connect all of us, and it could be a great topic to write comedy about. So that's it for my tip of the day. Do we have anything else, Michelle, we want to share with them before we bounce out of here?
Let's see. Yeah, I'm just going to simply say a knock, knock.
No. What if I say no? Who's there?
Somebody
who?
Somebody loves you. His name is Jesus. Thanks for listening.
I can't be mean about that one. I can't. All right. Just on our all of our social media platforms, Instagram and Facebook. Please like us. Please follow us. And again, you can watch us on all major podcast platforms or listen to us on all major podcast platforms. Michelle just got a rotten carrot out. Just commit to the bit, babe. Commit. You got to eat that whole thing. And you can listen to us on all major podcast platforms. Watch us on YouTube. Happy Easter, everybody. As Michelle said, somebody loves you. Bye, y'all.